Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? Locally owned delivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDER NOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney. All
right. Can you do the Andy look ahead?
Yeah, all right. By the way, I just started standing up.
And James Strebel.
Yeah, it's a Wednesday edition of The Take. We got James Strebel. His wife is hiding a pickle. We'll find out where. Pat 40 in the 4 o'clock hour. We got Sam Vecenie in the 5 o'clock hour. It's a loaded episode of The Take. Plus, what is Crean doing with IU? We're going to find out. He's going to eat a whole pizza. Two whole pizzas, maybe. Yeah, it's a Wednesday edition of The Take.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
So we're back at it on this 4 o'clock hour, presented by RGB Home Theaters, red, green, blue, RGBHomeTheaters.com. Reminder, Jack Grossman will take you for 10 magical moments, 8 magical moments, whatever that may be. He'll talk to you at 6 o'clock, and then Reds and Red Sox.
Wow,
coming your way at 6:10. I have no idea who won that game last night. I really don't know. Did the Red Sox win?
Red Sox, 5-3.
There you go.
Oh, how about
I figured
that?
You would remember. Reminder, tomorrow night, Browns and Steelers on all stations, ESPN 680, 105.7 and 93.9, the Ville, the NFL here on ESPN Louisville. Pat 40 with us from Sports Illustrated, at by Pat 40. If you want to follow him there, he's going to be on the road at Wake Forest and Clemson. Should be a good matchup in the ACC. Of course, Pat, you were at the U of L game, the carnage in the second half. You saw it up close. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Andy. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm doing good. I guess tomorrow it's supposed to be like 25 degrees colder, something like that, for the beginning of fall. So it's 90 today.
Well,
so
that's well timed, and I'm ready for it.
Okay, well, there you go. I'm good with fall, just not winter. That's just the way it is. So, anyway, Pat 40 with us here. I mean, you wrote about it, but, come on. You got to see the debacle up close. Louisville lost that game. I've seen them lose that game a number of times, especially the last 2.5 years or so under Scott Satterfield. What did you make of it? And a heartbreaking loss, and we kind of know what we have with Satterfield for the most part. But, anyway, what did you make of the matchup on Friday night?
Yeah, bad loss that fits a pattern. You're right. I mean, that's a game where you knock their starting quarterback, who was playing really well, out of the game. The backup is on the ropes at first, and then you just let down or whatever. You don't adjust. They do adjust. Whatever the case is, they outperformed and outcoached Louisville in the second half, and you let one get away. You had to have, I think, really.
Sure.
They were as good as Florida State. They were good enough to win the game and just didn't do it. And you can keep saying, oh, they were close, this, that. I mean, eventually you got to do it. And I think Scott Satterfield's running out of ropes to a degree in terms of being able to prove to people he should continue to have the job. You don't give up on the season by any means at this point. Things can still turn around, but it's your home opener. You got a good crowd out there. People were
sure
excited.
You did.
The game was going
in.
Your way.
Yeah.
And you let it go.
I just, for me, and Pat 40 with us here on ESPN 680, 105.7. Pat, for me, I feel like that, I mean, this guy, we know what we have with Satterfield teams. I don't want to just say him, but we kind of know what we have, and to expect some sort of big change would be based in hope, and at this point, not logic. And I just think, for me, they rarely are – the better coach team, the more disciplined team. I mean, they had three timeouts in the first half, and no wide receiver knows the play. Malik ends up fumbling that in the red zone. They had three timeouts, Pat. I mean, Lance Taylor's on the field frantically trying to line people up. Call a timeout. Call a timeout. Yeah. Get a play. And then you're right, the backup quarterback. And, I mean, they'd come out of a timeout and get 10 yards in pre-snap penalties. I mean, the penalties and the missed tackles. It's 3 years in a row we've done the missed tackle and penalty show. To me, I mean, that signifies, that's something that if it's not, if a coaching staff hasn't instilled that by year four, that's just something that's not going to be instilled. That's my belief.
Yeah, and look, there you're going to have some missed tackles in the game. That's always going to happen. That's part of football. That's part of college football especially. The bigger issue to me with the defense was they had one weapon, Johnny Wilson, and he's a weapon. Now, I mean, he's 6'7". He's tough to deal with.
Yep.
But so you got to tilt the field, the coverage his way. You've got to have two guys on him. You can't be trying to cover him without safety help. I mean, that's where they're going to go on every big play, and you're sitting there basically acting like every down is the same and every person on the field is the same. I just, you know, I saw a quote from Brian Brown about, you know, the players were in position, they just didn't make tackles. Like, no, man, you need to stop with that stuff and say our scheme, our system, and our execution isn't good enough. I'm quite frankly surprised he's kept his job into year four. And the returns so far in year four aren't very good.
Yeah, it's not honorable. It's one of those things where you don't root for anyone not to have a job. But even Chris Mack pulled the parachute and, you know, fired a couple assistants. And, you know, it got him extorted, of course, by Dino Gaudio. But that's an entirely different story. But he even pulled the parachute. And, I mean, they added staff members. They added, you know, the coach from Florida. I mean, they added Lance Taylor from Notre Dame. But his connection with Brian Brown, going down with the ship here, I guess he finds that honorable. I'm not sure that I do. I think we know what his defense is. I mean, their best defensive year, they're what they are or worse than when he took over. His best defensive year was during the pandemic, Pat. So if there's one coach that doesn't want the pandemic numbers taken away, it would be Brian Brown. They're not close. That year, he was easily his best defense.
Yeah, I mean, look, you can have loyalty to your staff. That's fine, but don't expect the fans to just say, oh, okay, he's being loyal. No, they're going to say, how about why aren't we winning games? Why aren't we stopping people? Why aren't we, you know, in good coverages and executing soundly? They don't care whether he's your, you know, longtime assistant coach. They want to see results, and right now the results aren't good enough.
No, it's just not. It's one of those things. Of course, I say that the next three, I mean, South Florida, Boston College has been bad, and one of the good things on the schedule for U of L, I guess, has been Virginia looks terrible. I mean, Virginia looks terrible. So, again, those schools might be thinking similar to U of L. You know, Virginia's like, okay, we might be able to get one here, but the next three games, if they win those, we'll see if they rally the troops like they did last year with Syracuse and Duke, and then we know what happened with Kentucky. Do you think Louisville's bowl eligible by the time they get to the Governor's Cup? Think they have six wins by then?
No, I think they have five.
I mean,
I could see them winning these next three, and I could see them beating James Madison. But that's, I think, is what all I can see right now, and I think that they're probably 5-6 going into the Kentucky game, and that's not really a place you want to be historically.
No, it's not. Not with that defense at Kentucky. Pat Forty with us here on ESPN 680. What's the, from a national perspective, you look at that game, let's move Louisville aside. That's the local angle. What do we make of Florida State winning close games? They're ugly. Jordan Travis may be back this weekend. What's Florida State? What do you do with them?
I would say this. Look, they found ways to win games, and they did very well in the transfer portal. They got some guys who can make plays. I still don't think they're very good at the line of scrimmage on either side. I think they adjusted in the second half. Their run defense got better after Louisville was just gashing them between the guards, you know, really tight A-gap run plays. Louisville was doing really well, and they adjusted and did better against that. And their offensive line did open some holes at times. So, you know, they're not bad, but they're not Florida State.
No.
I'm going to go see Clemson Wake Forest, as you noted, and I'll be interested to watch them in person and see if Florida State can hang with them. I don't think so, but, you know, we'll see what they look like. Give them the eye test. I think those three and then North Carolina State, they're the top teams in the Atlantic Division right now, and my suspicion is that Clemson's the best of them, but we're going to find out here in the next couple of weeks.
Pat Forty with us. Tons of information up SI.com. Check out the podcast as well. Pat Forty at Pat Forty, on Twitter. Quickly, just on Kentucky, what did you have them preseason? Did you have them 8-4? I cannot remember.
No, I think I had them better than that. I'm pretty sure I ranked them coming into the season. Now, I don't really remember if I went through game by game and had a number.
Has it changed? That's kind of the exercise we did. I picked him to be 8-4 before the season, and I'm about the same just because the hard part of the schedule is coming up. Mark Stoops a little feisty in the Monday press conference because the offensive line in the running game has not been what Mark Stoops wants to see. So I expect some changes in the next couple weeks. But there's a lot of good there, and there's a lot of good young talent. So I would probably have him 8-4. Would be teased maybe to go to 9-3, but they're about what I thought record wise now, but they're still a very good team.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that Florida would beat them going into that game. So you win that on the road, that's a good win. I look around at the rest of the East. Look, Georgia's way better than there. Georgia's way better than anybody in the country. I think Tennessee is better than Kentucky. After that, who can't they beat? The Mississippi game will be big. It's on the road. You know, that could end up being a game day game no matter what. That's going to be a good atmosphere and a tough game. I'm still not sold on Ole Miss. They really haven't played anybody yet. They're only Power 5 opponents, Georgia Tech, and we know Georgia Tech's terrible. So I'm not sold on them. I mean, on paper, Kentucky could come out of this 10-2. It's not out of the question. And they do get Chris Rodriguez clocking in, on October 1st, so that should help him.
Well, that's the OG name, image, and likeness. That's right.
That's not name, image, and likeness.
No.
It's a job that you have that you don't show up for.
That's OG SEC. That's like Barry Switzer.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Oh, yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah. I mean, there's been,
they didn't know anything about it, though.
Decades of college sports talk about, go out and make sure the sprinklers are on and we'll pay you $1,000 or whatever the case is, at various, at a golf course or at maybe even, say, a horse farm or something like that.
Something like that.
Those things have been going on.
You guys on the podcast, we were going to talk about this later, talked about the hundreds of thousands of dollars and the steaks and the alcohol and just all the nonsense that went into the Texas Arch Manning weekend. Tell the people, a little bit of your conversation with that. We'll do it later. I mean, they spent like $300,000, and basically all they did was take pictures, cart these recruits and families around and drink a bunch of expensive alcohol and eat a bunch of steak and lobster. It sounds like a great weekend. It's a great display of college athletics, along with scamming potentially UK healthcare. Both of those things.
Yeah. I mean, no, that was that's like we're just going to go straight largesse and excess, and we'll work in. Look, we'll have a nutritionist show up and say a few words, and maybe even an academic person, and Sark will make an appearance on Sunday to say, hey, how's it going? But otherwise, we're just absolutely whining and dining the hell out of you and your family. And that's one of the changes in official visits is you could pay for families. This was 5 or 6 years ago. And oh boy, has that been a nice thing for parents. We were trying to figure out whether Cooper Manning, Arch's dad, was the one who ordered the $70 glass of Johnny Walker Blue. But regardless, there was a lot of alcohol purchased. That's for sure.
That's what Jerry Jones drinks. I remember him doing an interview is Johnny Walker Blue, because of course he does. Just a couple quick national items. We'll get Pat Forty out of here just in a row. Bad start for Jeff Brohm this season. What do we do with that? He could have won these games.
The only victory Scott Satterfield had over the weekend was Jeff Brohm and Purdue just blowing a game like you can rarely blow a game. I mean, that was incredible. 7 penalty flags in the last 51 seconds. After you scrap and battle and fight to take the lead in a back-and-forth game, and then you absolutely just throw it away. I mean, it's incredible. there was at least one flag that I thought was very questionable, but oh boy, the rest of them, you know, I mean,
3-0.
Personal foul, personal foul, personal foul, personal foul. Come on, you cannot do that. And Jeff said Monday in his press conference, he said, you know, the chatter has to stop, and we've got to coach them better, and they've got to act better, and that's the bottom line. It's like you just think what you do has to end at the when the play ends. Shut up and go back to your huddle or back to your sideline, and that's it. No matter what the play is, you can't afford otherwise, or it could literally cost you a game. So, yeah, if you're Purdue, you got to be sick because you've given away two games as much as anything here. You should be 3-0.
Yeah, you should be, and it's against teams that you just want to be better than, right? You talk about building a program, what Kentucky's done, and that slowly be better than some programs where they can now just go to Florida and win that game, and it's not the craziest thing in the world. Mike Gundy had a two-minute rant. We'll play it later on. Bedlam is over for now. I don't know. What's the reaction? What's the reaction? I don't know why they have to do this, but, you know, this is the way we schedule in college football, I guess. Whatever.
Yeah, and that you know, the Gundy said this was basically going to happen back at Big 12 Media.
He did.
So this was fait accompli. What it is, and it's a one-sided rivalry, but both sides still really care about it. So that's good. But now losing it is what college sports does to fan bases, and just expects the fans to go along with it. You know,
we're gonna
end this great in-state rivalry that's been going on for a century because Oklahoma wants more money. Okay, yeah, the fans are just supposed to roll over and say, yeah, sure, that's fine. No, I mean, we're gonna play games at 11 a.m. in 100 degree heat because TV says so. Fans, deal with it. We're gonna charge you $70 if you're a Michigan fan to come to terrible non-conference games in the heat. You just have to deal with it. We're gonna, you know, send your team to wherever for some cockamamie bowl game and then expect the fans to buy tickets to it. I mean, the fans have been suckers enough to do it all. That's the thing.
We're going to do it.
Have been able to continue to push the fans around because the fans put up with it. So this is just one more step in it.
Quickly, winners, Wake, Clemson. Who do you think wins? Clemson?
I know
you picked these.
Yeah, they've just dominated them in the trenches for time immemorial. Wake is probably better in that area, but I don't think they're good enough to withstand the mismatch inside.
I think Florida has some losses coming in. I think Saturday's one of them. Tennessee, Florida. You think Tennessee rolls?
Yeah, I don't know if they roll, but I think they win. I expect Florida to put up a fight. Florida's defense is talented, but that offense is absolute mess right now. They need Anthony Richardson to run the ball 15 times and run it well. And not just have him back there just flailing as a passer.
Arkansas and Texas A&M.
I'm surprised A&M's favored. I think Arkansas is better. I think they looked past Missouri State. I think they'll be much more ready, and A&M's offense stinks.
And how many times have you been to Boone? You're going to Boone on Friday. You're going to God's country. I mean, could it be any better? It's beautiful, and then they win the game on that. They win the game because of course they do, on college game day. Because of course they do. It's unbelievable, that place.
Oh, it's incredible. I've been a grand total of zero times, so I'm really looking forward to it.
But there you go.
Nobody has had three games to start the season like Appalachian State.
No.
I mean, it is unbelievable to lose that 63-61 shootout with North Carolina, come back and win at Texas A&M, have game day come to town, and then win on a Hail Mary. Are you kidding? Those fans, like, as much fun as this has been, they got to be exhausted. I wonder where the team will be. We'll see if they show up against James Madison.
Yeah, no, that's going to be a good game. I know some people talking up James Madison winning that game, but I have no idea when it comes to James Madison football to even begin that discussion. Pat, appreciate the time. Good, sir. Safe travels. We'll keep listening and reading. We'll talk with you down the road. Thank you so much.
All right. Sounds good, Andy.
All right,
thank
there
you.
We go. Have a good weekend. Pat Forty with us here on ESPN 680 105.7. There you go.
James Madison.
Little college football. Little James Madison talk on a Wednesday.
I think they score them. They average the most points per game in the nation or something like that. Little fans, they've been talking
about
James
Madison. They what now? Just threw out some stat that cannot be true.
No, I saw it on Twitter today. I think they average like 50 – 3 points per game or something crazy like that. And Louisville fans have been – Blankenbaker's been talking about James Madison for a long time now. Like, they're nervous about James Madison. As they should be. They should be nervous.
So we
got to
find during the break a fake stat.
I don't
then.
Think it's a fake stat.
Now, there is a stat, but I just don't know what it is.
I'm pretty sure it's points per game. I forgot who shared it with me. I'll try to find it too. But no, it's like a real stat. Like they average a lot of points per game. I got to find it. I'll find it. But no, I mean, James Madison is, again, Mark Blankenbaker is like, they're better than we think they are, and they did work in the transfer portal. But we've laughed at that before, right? Like, on this show, we've laughed at that, and now all of a sudden, we're 1-2 with the Cards. And you're like, you just assume James Madison, will they go beat Appalachian State? Scott's got to be nervous. He's got to be nervous. Scott does.
You're calling him Scott a lot. I like that.
Because of Pat. Because of Cardinal Pat.
How was Cardinal Pat today, Jack? Was he shining?
He was absolutely shining. Absolutely shining.
Pat will read the game notes.
Yes. Yes. He's ingrained.
I don't think that's ingrained. That's addiction.
It might be addiction.
No, it is addiction.
I
contend that it is.
I was listening to Inside the Program on the way.
I'm sure
home,
you were.
And
not Kellen, listening to the V Show. You had to pick. It's fun.
Kellen perked up. He said, "Is that Cardinal Pat?"
Did he really?
He did. Yeah, he said, "Is that Cardinal Pat?"
I need Kellen to meet Pat and call him Cardinal Pat.
Call him a bum.
Yeah, I said, "Yes, that is Cardinal Pat."
And call him a complete bum.
He said, "Don't change this."
Wow.
He was very excited to hear Cardinal Pat.
I like that. Yeah. He says, don't change this.
He said, don't change
this. Just like his father.
I didn't change it. I left it. I left it on the station.
Just like his father.
Well, I had it on 93.9 because I had to hear Blankenbaker's voice, even if it was for 5 minutes.
You want to hear another piece of blank sound?
I'd love to hear blank sound. I only get to hear it for about 5 minutes this morning. That was it.
Okay, you want to hear some blank sound?
I wanted it to work. I still want it to work. Maybe he can turn it around and you know, start playing better. But what I've seen so far is that it's more of the same, and that this is basically where we are defensively, and we could have made a change in the offseason and tried to do something different. And we've seen Louisville.
I don't know if it would matter. I'm just not sure the players are good enough. I'm just not sure the players on that side of the ball are good enough. I thought we would get more out of Monty Montgomery.
Oh, Blankenbaker just texted me. It's James Madison has the number one total defense in the country and fewest red zone trips allowed. I knew it was something.
What else are you guys texting about?
That was it.
Are you going to bring up the awkward question?
I mean, I'm sure he's heard the show about the.
Why are you sure he's got a newborn? He's got other things.
That's true. I mean,
he's got other things going on.
There's a lawsuit. And there's a Lexington police officer named as a UofL grad, and Vito Tisdale wants to get paid.
By the way, we never talked about it Monday, but Strebel and I were texting back and forth. It was like during something happened. I don't know if it was a bad call or something happened in the game on Saturday, and they scanned to Mark Stoops. And Vito Tisdale was I don't know, just
he's
acting a fool.
Great.
Yeah, he's looking great. He had massive chains on.
Yeah,
and
his jersey.
He was yelling at Stoops, and Stoops told him to back the bleep up.
Yeah, he was
Stoops
on the
told
field.
Him to back the bleep up.
I forgot what happened in the play. I just looked up, and there was Vito Tisdale with a massive gold chain with a big pendant on it. And
you're damn right.
And Stoops looked at him and said, "Get back." And Vito said, "Okay," and he just walked back.
Jack, that's what you need is a chain.
Yes.
A little chain.
I agree
with that.
If
you lose some more weight, you need a little chain.
Yeah, like an old school, like 80s, late 80s, early 90s hip-hop chain is what Jack needs. I agree with that. That would look great on Jack.
Jack, ever wore a studded belt? Probably not.
I have not.
There you go.
I haven't either. I had to think about it because I used to buy clothes from the buckle.
Okay.
And I think I almost bought a studded belt. I just didn't
do buckle.
It.
The buckle didn't have those. The buckle
oh,
was.
Oh, yeah, they did.
You're thinking of Hot Topic.
No. The buckle had some, too.
Oh. You got that whip at Hot Topic, I know.
No, there's no whips. No.
Is that Spencer Gifts?
No whips. The buckle had some, I'm trying to think of the style. like the ripped jeans, douchebag. But like the class, yeah, douchebag. Like they had,
that's it.
Like
that's
they
the
had
style.
Like button up shirts with like designs on the back, like Ed Hardy type stuff.
Yeah, that's.
Oh, they had studded belts. Oh yeah, oh yeah. I went in there. I got cologne from there once too. It was actually nice cologne.
You and Mark Weinberg. It wasn't nice cologne.
It was it was like $90.
It was from Green Tree Mall. It wasn't. No, they tricked you. They tricked you into spending $90.
When I was,
I'm just saying that's.
Well, when I was courting my wife, she enjoyed it.
Okay. Do you still have some or not?
No, it was used years ago.
So you're done with that. You're married. You're done impressing her.
I haven't bought cologne in a long time. Now, I'll buy her perfume every once in a while. She'll see something that she likes. I'll get her a nice bottle of perfume. But I don't buy cologne, no.
How do you even do that? How do you even buy perfume?
I just order it online.
Okay.
Like she's got
so you don't go to like Dillard's or Macy's and go to the bar. There.
No,
you know
I
what I'm talking about.
Straight from Chanel's website. That's it gets sent to the house. I'm not going to a mall.
Oh, Jack, that's got to be the name of the hour, Chanel's website.
Yeah, I got her Chanel something or other not too long ago.
Maybe during the summer we dive back into that. Jack, write that down in your notebook. Maybe we couch that discussion through the football and basketball season.
She's like, I like this perfume. I said, okay.
There you go. Hey, that's an easy gift.
That's
boom.
Easy gift,
you hit buy now, it's at the house in 3 to 4 days.
Yep.
That's the perfect gift.
Go,
I got
honey.
No problem with
little
that.
Chanel, boom. There you go.
Chanel, done. Boom. How about that?
Yeah.
437-9680. There is a sports predicament, and what do me and Cal have in common? They kind of all relate. We'll talk about it next. It's Wednesday. It's The Take on ESPN 680.
Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
UPS is hiring Daysort warehouse workers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying $20 an hour and offer great benefits, including up to $25,000 in tuition assistance. Eligibility begins the day you're hired. Shift your future, shift your team, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Texas says you sound like a teenage girl.
Yeah, dude.
Texas says I'm a UK fan. You're embarrassing us.
And James Strebel.
You keep texting that in while Calipari knows me and not you, buddy. How about them apples? In your sad cell phone. Your Nokia brick.
Oh.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Reminder, Lou City, first place Lou City, back in action on Friday. Boys in Purple hosting Memphis 901 FC. Join Jeff Milby and Casey Whitfield, 7:45 pregame kickoff, 8 o'clock on ESPN 680, 105.7. And don't forget to catch Soccer City tomorrow night, 6 to 7, right here on ESPN Louisville. Jack, I hate to ask you, you're going to be running that, I assume, right? For Ed, he's working?
Yeah.
Good?
Yeah.
Jack doesn't sound happy.
Really?
Thank you.
Really?
It's
really?
Nothing against Soccer City. It's just, you know, that's an extra hour on the board for me.
Nothing against Soccer City.
It's extra 3 hours on the board for me tomorrow because, you know, doing
yeah, it, but you like it, being on with Issel.
Yeah, of course I do.
Because Issel and Louie let you go.
Yeah.
I mean, you dominated the baloney segment today.
Damn right I did.
You pushed Issel and Louie out of the way.
Yep.
Over baloney?
Baloney? No.
Baloney or salami?
Yes, it's basically a buy or sell segment.
Yes. Baloney or salami. I like that, Jack. You're baloneying everywhere.
Strebel, you wanted to talk about the Adam Levine story.
Oh, I know he allegedly cheated on his wife and got called out on, what, TikTok or whatever?
Have you not
pregnant
seen
wife?
This story? Now, I think this is right. He's the guy on Maroon 5,
and he was on The Voice.
He's got what is viewed as the perfect male body, right? Unless I'm wrong there?
He's looked at as a very handsome man, yes. He's got, very – he took his shirt off during the halftime
show. Well, he's married
to a model.
to a supermodel.
Yes.
Okay. He cheated on the supermodel with an IG model.
Yes, that's the story.
IG model outed him and said, and told the story how he and his still wife,
and she's pregnant too,
are having a kid.
Yes.
Or they had the kid. No, this is when they were having the kid. I think that's, I'm sure people know the story better than I. Have you not heard this twist?
No, the name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where he contacted the old IG model fling and wanted to name his baby after her.
Sunny, I believe it was.
It was something
Sunny,
like that. It's a variation
like
that. It's an odd, it's not a normal name.
Yeah, something like that. And I saw that. And
what do you think about that? I mean, what if you got that call? What if you would have got that call from an ex-girlfriend that's like, listen, we're having a boy. I want to name my son after you.
I mean, the only difference is, like, here's what makes it gross.
Here, let me pause you for a second. This is what famous people do.
Oh, yeah.
Normal people aren't doing this.
Continue. But the gross thing about it is, like, he was having an affair with this IG model while his wife was pregnant with the baby.
Yes.
And that's a little much. Like, I mean,
and now a lot of women are coming out. Apparently, he reached out. You know,
oh boy.
Unless some of those might be fake. Yeah,
well, they might be fake. But yeah, he came out and was like, well, actually, I didn't cheat. It was just I made a few bad choices, flirtations that I shouldn't have made as a married man. Like, no, dude, you're done. I mean, it's all out here.
No, he's not done. I mean, he's done.
I'm done with his like current wife, probably he'd be done. I would assume, like, if it's like, I mean, I would assume he'd be done. He's cheating, and she probably has her own money. I mean, she's a supermodel, you know, by the way. It's like she can earn on her own. She doesn't need Adam Levine to make, you know, millions of dollars. She can do that all by herself. So, no, it's just, if an ex-girlfriend asked, like, to name their kid after me, I guess I'd be like, it's your kid. You can name the kid whatever you want to. It has anything to do with me. So if you like the name, have at it. I wouldn't care. I mean,
Texas says Strebel shopped at Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. Wow. That's a
sorry,
throwback.
That's a good text.
Gadzooks. I like that. I don't remember going into Gadzooks.
Would you tell your wife if you got that call, or would you just keep that secret knowing that there's no way it would ever
it would ever
come out unless, I mean, you're still technically on Facebook, that she could tag you on Facebook your account's hacked
Russians. No, I would tell my wife, like, hey, this, you know, but number one, like, none of my
again, I don't think that's ever going to happen.
No, because they don't have my phone number. I don't think any of my ex-girlfriends have my phone number, so I don't have to worry about that. But no, I'd tell her, like, hey, they want to name their baby after me, and that would be it. And I'd move on with my day.
Yeah, it would have been a great spot for that's a lie right there, Jack.
They don't.
I know, I believe you, but that's not the point.
Yeah.
The point isn't believing you.
Yes.
The point is the sound.
Yeah.
Jack doesn't care about the Levine story.
He doesn't care.
Yeah, that's fine. I wanted, so a couple different things. Jack, I am going to ask Jack Grossman something that's right in his wheelhouse. And I think maybe even Issel and Louie, when they dove into some of their older man radio.
Old man takes?
Yeah. I mean, like, Louie said something about some random horse, Jack, that was like 2 years old. Should he run here or there? Yeah. Like, no one knows what you're talking about. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what? Jack's sitting there.
A random horse.
Confused. Anyway.
I want to talk basketball, damn it.
Anyway. So there's three things, and I think this is all going to make Jack Grossman happy. You ready for this?
Yes.
And we have a weird Wednesday in like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
The guys that caught Aaron Judge's home run last night, Jack, were a bunch of college guys.
Yeah.
He tied Babe Ruth.
Yes.
Last night with home
61.
Run number 60.
Yes.
They just got an autograph and got a picture and didn't want anything. Okay?
Right.
So that's the great sports radio debate. What would you do?
Right. What would you want from Aaron Judge?
I'd give it back, but I would definitely want something
for it. I'd give more.
Yeah.
No, I don't want money, but I want tickets. I want a few pieces of memorabilia.
I want tickets and memorabilia. That's what I want. Yeah.
So that is number one.
Playoff tickets.
Number two, tonight's a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember if they play on Thursday. Jack, would you mind looking that up on the fly for me?
If the Yankees play on Thursday?
Yeah, if the Yankees. I know they play.
They play tonight.
I believe they play tomorrow, even if it's a day game. Then they play on Friday. And the game on Friday is on Apple TV.
They host Boston tomorrow.
Okay, they yeah.
Oh, boy.
So you already have Yankees-Red Sox.
Right.
And it's a Friday night game, and it's on Apple TV. Diener, I hope you're listening. This is Diener's story. It's on Apple TV. Apple just bought into Major League Baseball to have select games.
Sure.
Well, they had no idea before the season that they could be sitting on the game.
Yeah.
And so if you are the Yankees radio, if you're the Yankees TV, if you're Michael Kay, these are historic calls.
Yeah.
And they're going to be on Apple TV. It would be one thing if it were on, and Jack, you would agree with this, Fox.
Yeah,
or,
which they're on Sunday Night Baseball on
because,
Sunday.
But Michael Kay can still call the game there.
Sunday nights you can't.
Apple. Oh, you know what? You're right. No, you can't. They paid for that exclusive window. And so there's nothing you can do. They paid for it. This could potentially be their good fortune. And some of their announcers are terrible. Like, that's going to get better, and I think the broadcast will get better.
They'll lure other people in.
But you could have the national call is not going to be a Joe Buck. Who's on ESPN right now, Jack? Is it Showman? It's not Showman.
No, it's not Showman anymore.
Oh, goodness,
it's not Fast Surgeon either.
No, it's not.
Because they just replaced it. It's a new guy
this year. It's not Boog.
No. Boog
he's
does the
middle
call,
of the week.
He does radio now.
Yeah, but yeah, he does the radio now. So, like, again, the TV guys kind of signed up for this.
Sure.
For the playoffs.
Right.
Like, Michael Kay knows, hey, they win a World Series, home radio will call it, Joe Buck will be calling it.
Yeah.
They get that. That's what they sign up for. But they have now, fed these
Carl
games
Ravitch
out.
Now.
Carl Ravitch. They have sold these games out to Amazon and all these different ways to make money, like
YouTube.
We see the NFL doing, and I understand it, and I don't care. I'm totally fine with it. This would be the only time that someone like me would care. Not an old-timer, okay?
You want to hear
that
Michael
somebody
K.
like me would care, and there's nothing you can do. I mean, you can't take all their money from Apple,
no.
And then when they're going to get the good fortune of having a game that you never knew this could
you tie Roger Maris.
Be it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
61.
I mean, it's a...
Watch him at 61 and 62 on Thursday night on Apple TV Plus.
I mean, listen, some of their early broadcasts were really bad. They were bad.
If you had Apple
TV, you were
able to watch it. Yeah,
they were just bad. They're not very good, so...
It'd be like me calling it Judge, Homer, Tyes, Maris.
Tyes, yes.
And there it is.
And there... I mean, it's going to be bad. It's going to go down in the record books.
I just saw.
He's one away from...
Breaking.
Going over...
Well,
Roger
I mean, it would be no. It would. I mean, it would be like. I mean, same thing. If you're a Tom Leach or a Paul Rogers,
oh sure,
fan,
and
that it's like
get to hear them.
Yeah, they can't do the Final Four game. Sorry, you're gonna have to listen to the national feed or something,
exactly.
And not even like the best national feed, like the worst national feed, like the worst
available.
National feed. Yeah, not Joe Buck, who's very good, whether you like
yes,
him or not.
He is good.
Not that. So anyway, 437-9680 is the UPS jobs text line. Before we dive into Weird Wednesday, Jack, go ahead and tell the people about Vitality. How about that?
Yeah.
And we'll tell the people Vitality is bringing you Weird Wednesday.
Yes.
That'd be a great partnership.
They do sponsor the Blitz now, but maybe Weird Wednesday
even
as well.
Better.
Yes.
We need to remember that
for
tomorrow.
Awesome.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, but Vitality, wellness, and weight loss, safe, effective weight loss tailored for your body. You guys know the story with me. I lost 85 pounds on this program over the course of 2 rounds. I got personalized food lists and supplements based off of my needs. Not someone else's, all personalized just for me. All I had to do was put my hand on a scanner for about 15 minutes to find out what my body was deficient in, what I needed to do to kickstart my metabolism. Yes, it was deficient in everything. Yeah, they give you this little, you get this little print off that has a graph and it shows what parts are good, what need work. And I was like, oh, everything's in the red. Perfect. Yes, but now everything's not in the red because of Vitality, weight loss, and wellness. I lost 18 pounds on the first week, burned stubborn body fat instead of sugar that you can't lose in a local gym. And here's the best part. I did all of that over the course of 100 days, 2 rounds of the program,
never hungry while on the diet. I wasn't hungry. It was phenomenal. I could develop healthy eating habits while not feeling starved all the damn time, to where now I can eat a salad. And I actually enjoy it. I eat fruit. I never had an orange before I did this, which is still just pathetic on strange. My part. But yes. But if you need to lose a lot of weight, I can attest to you, Vitality is the place to go. If you need to lose 10 to 20 pounds or just a little bit amount, you're just trying to get a little bit off, trim that unwanted fat, Vitality can help you there as well. That's probably what I'll be doing after January 1st, so I take a little bit of a break, but still eating healthy and doing all those great things. I still got to lose a little bit more weight to get to where I ultimately want to be, but they can do that as well. Check out the Jack Grossman special. Get your initial assessment, normally priced at $199 for just $27. That's the 15-minute hand scan there that'll give you everything you need to know and learn to where you can kickstart that metabolism and get yourself going. For more info, go to vitalityweight.com or call 502-442-7180 and tell them ESPN Louisville sent you.
Perhaps during your next read, Nick Valvano could open and shut the door one more time in the background.
A few more times,
just maybe a fifth or sixth time would be great there, Nick.
Hey, Jack, you talking about Vitality? All right, see you, Jack.
I mean, you could twist the handle and close the door where it doesn't slam.
No, can't do that.
Let's go to Weird Wednesday.
He's frustrated.
Let's go to Weird Wednesday.
Yeah.
Let's go to
Weird Wednesday.
All right, what's going on, big guy?
Over the weekend, there was a big festival in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. It was the Mothman Festival. So there is a Mothman statue in the middle of
the town.
Okay,
what's the Mothman? Explain to people what the hell the Mothman is, because I don't think I know.
All right, Mothman. So
I actually know a little bit about this.
Okay,
I forgot most of it
from when
they talked about it in school. But I've actually...
In school?
Yes.
I'll have to hear more about this.
No, they studied how the media covered it.
I could see that. Okay,
Jack,
so
quit trying to steal this segment.
I'm giving Treble credit here because I normally just dismiss it and then just ignore it. But
so Mothman is something you're into. Okay,
so I don't know if I'm into it, but I've heard of it.
The years 1966 and 1967 in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, there were multiple sightings of a creature that was dubbed Mothman by the media, because Jack is right. It was actually a big media sensation, specifically in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. It actually drew some national media attention as well, including John Keel, who was a journalist and an author, who was the author of the book The Mothman Prophecies. So Mothman was a probably 6 foot tall.
The Mothman Prophecies.
It's a good book. I'm telling you, it's freaky as hell. It's really good. So he's about 6 foot tall, and it had these like glowing red eyes.
Okay.
And it would fly around, and people saw it. So there were police officers that saw it. Fire department fighters saw it. There were people in the town that actually had close contact with it, and they had radiation burns on their skin that were actually visible and seen, because they thought that was emitted from the eyes. And the strange thing about the creature was that it didn't really flap its wings. It would just like shoot up in the air and glide. Okay, so again, it was man-sized. They never got a really good look at his face, but it had wings, so they called it a moth. So this all leads up to, there were other sightings around the time of the Mothman. There were UFO sightings. There were sightings of orbs. When John Keel arrived on the scene, he actually had an encounter with it in an old factory and was able to like confirm some of the things that he saw. This all culminated on December 15th of 1967.
Okay.
There was a bridge. There was a bridge called the Silver Bridge.
The bridge here.
That was
Jared Schwabshire.
Yeah, that was between West Virginia and Ohio. It was a border town between West Virginia and Ohio. The bridge collapsed on December 15th, 1967, and 46 people were killed in this collapse. And it just happened to coincide with the ending of this, the end of the sightings of the Mothman. So what was happening, the thing was happening, was like the Mothman was like a harbinger of disaster. Like something bad was going to happen in this town, and that he was not seen after December 15th and the collapse of the Silver Street Bridge. And there were a lot of weird things that happened to John Keel, the author of the book, while he was investigating these sightings.
Okay.
Like he was.
That
he
had, seems to be a common theme in these things that you've talked about.
Yeah,
when they
disaster.
When they start to knock on the door, things happen.
He had encounters with Men in Black, which, like, Men in Black are...
The movie?
It got the Hollywood treatment. Like, the Men in Black aren't alien investigators like you saw with Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones. There's mixed feelings about them. So people think that they're otherworldly entities that don't want people talking about, like, these sightings. So they'll show up to your house, and they look like people. They're dressed in all black suits, but they say strange things. Like, if, like, normally you come down and say, like, I'd like something to eat. I'd like a glass of water.
Loyal to the bird.
Yeah, loyal to the same
loyal
thing.
Loyal to the bird.
They say, like, hey, I'd like a glass of water or something like
okay.
that. And so they'd be like something, I would like something that would quench the thirst that I have in my throat. Like, things that, they just seem off. Like, no, like they're entities that are pretending
right,
to be
I
human
understand.
Beings.
Yeah. And right,
they,
right, right.
And
I'm
they
with
would
you.
Drink water, like remember how Donald Trump drank
like
water?
Like Donald Trump.
With like two
well,
things.
He could be one of these.
Yeah, like an entity or something. Like, they grab it with like two hands, they drink it like strangely, and so he had visits from them. People in Point Pleasant had visits from these Men in Black as well. He also got a phone call to his hotel room that was like, the Pope is going to be assassinated. And so he was like freaked out about it, so he called a bunch of his friends like, hey, I just got a weird call saying the Pope was going to be assassinated. Like 2 days later, after he got that call, the Pope was not assassinated, but he was like on a, it was, I forgot which Pope it was, but he was like on a peacekeeping tour in the Middle East.
Right. He's the Pope. What else?
And someone, like a figure that was cloaked in black came and like pulled out a knife and tried to stab him, but they like tackled the person and carried him off. And so while the Pope wasn't killed, John Keel was like, it's freaky. Like that freaked him out badly. So it's considered an ultra-terrestrial that might go between dimensions,
the Men in
and
Black.
Realities.
Okay.
And there was also recent sightings of the Mothman in Chicago about 5-6 years ago. So it's been sighted since then. It's been seen by other people. So you look that up, like Mothman in Chicago. There's stories about that.
Oh,
on the internet.
Wow.
So yeah. So the Mothman. So this is for the Mothman. If you want to read more about it, The Mothman Prophecies by John Keel. There's actually a movie.
He's an author. What else was he?
A journalist. He's a journalist and an author. There's also a movie that was made in the 90s with Richard Gere called The Mothman Prophecies of the same name. They took some liberties with his story for the movie. And it was actually directed by the same guy that directed the Pearl Jam video, Jeremy.
Oh, well, how about that?
So there you go, yeah.
Look at that.
So there you go, little Mothman on Weird.
So what do you believe on, what do you believe with the Mothman?
They saw something. Because it was one of those things where it wasn't just...
But what would be...
There's a lot of cooperating witnesses that saw this.
Here's my problem.
And like professional people that saw this, yeah. Not like...
You know. I believe that there's aliens. There's a bunch of them. We're talking. There's thousands, right?
I mean,
there's a whole
there's a whole galaxy full
galaxy
of
or whatever.
Yes.
The problem I have is I'm only seeing one Mothman. Like, what's the use of one Mothman?
There might be more than one.
Okay.
Like the one in Chicago that might be a different Mothman.
Yeah, but I mean, we're talking minimal sightings. We're talking all of them have been West Virginia.
Well, the West Virginia is just the one.
Right.
And it was all in West Virginia, Point Pleasant. Yes, but they saw them in Chicago, and then there's
50
also,
years ago,
yes,
45, 50 years
yeah,
ago.
Late 60s. Yeah, no, I understand completely. Like, why do they pick and choose when to appear, when not to
like,
appear?
I feel like we don't have much
why
data for
where?
The Mothman.
No.
I feel like there's a little bit less data. I feel like with aliens, it's like Malik Cunningham.
Sure.
I got a lot of data.
Yes. So, no, I understand completely where you're coming with. There's not a lot of data with it, but it is one of the more popular and investigated paranormal topics out there. Mothman is one of the most – it's like – I hate to use the term
really?
Because – oh, yeah, it's like the Mount Rushmore of paranormal.
Is it really?
The Mothman's on – oh, 100%.
Oh, I had no idea. I thought it was a toss-away.
No. It's a destination. Like Point Pleasant, West Virginia this weekend was packed. Like,
really?
It's a destination. Like, I want to go. I would love to go.
Is it just a West Virginia town.
Yeah, it's like a small town, West Virginia. They have a big statue in the middle of it. They have like a Mothman museum. Like all my paranormal people were there.
Oh,
Like I want to go.
Why didn't
bad.
You go?
Well, it's a bit.
You're Bourbon and Beyond.
I saw Pearl
watching
Jam.
Pearl Jam. Yeah.
I saw one bucket list item with Pearl Jam. Maybe next fall I'll see another bucket list item with the Mothman Festival in Point Pleasant, West Virginia.
Love it. Absolutely love
it. It would
love
be
it.
A good weekend. Good weekend.
Well, there we go. Let's take a break, Jack. 437-9680 on the other end. I mean, we'll keep diving into some of the topics that we've had. Obviously, the Kentucky player lawsuit, we can dive into that. There's a story about a prince that I want to dive into. Oh, yeah, I got some other things.
A prince?
Strebel was tweeting about U of L tickets at Costco. We can dive into that. We have a bunch of sound as well. 437-9680, it's The Take, hanging out with you up until 6 o'clock on this Wednesday.